pray that you'd bless our children here at New Song, that you'd help them to grow up to be godly men and women, to be able to serve you with all of their heart, mind, and soul. I pray that they would continue to see you as their lighthouse, to bring them safe to shore in times of trouble. Help them not to worry, but to depend on you, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, kids are dismissed. You guys can head on back to Sunday school. I don't know about you guys, but as an adult, I kind of need that Island Time song too, you know, not worry about a thing, right? Yeah, and that's the scripture that Mike shared earlier, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You know, don't be anxious about anything. Boy, that's a challenge some days, isn't it? Now, well, I think I could have gotten some good out of BBS too this year. This was good. I appreciate that. All right, well, we are going to continue in our series on Luke in chapter 3. We're actually going to revisit that baptism passage that Jack talked about a little bit last week, where Jesus is baptized by John. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about a battle 2,000 years in the making with John the Baptist and the Herods. And this is an epic baptism, millennia in the making. And we're going to talk about, when you know, we just read over this, okay, John the Baptist dunked Jesus in the Jordan, but there's so much more that was going on there, and that's what we want to explore this morning. What was happening as Jesus was going under the water and coming back up? What exactly was happening in that moment? And that's what we want to look at this morning. So if you want to turn with me to Luke 3, we're going to read 21, 22, and then we're going to finish the end of this chapter towards the end. So it says, "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven saying, 'You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased.'" There's a lot going on there in those two verses. And you guys know me, I kind of take this all back to Genesis, right? So think about this for a second. Where else in Scripture do you have the water and the Holy Spirit and then God speaking from heaven? Genesis 1, right? Now, I want you to follow me here as we dive into Jesus' baptism, right? I promise this is all going to come back around. All right, so we're going to just follow me on this little journey for a minute, all right? So Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We can recite that from memory. We've said it so many times. "And the earth was formless and void, and there was darkness over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters, and God said..." So this is the scene. I don't know, am I the only one that sees a little bit of parallel here with the baptism of Jesus? I think there's some really interesting things there, because the Trinity, and you've got some notes here in your bulletin, by the way, that kind of follow along here. The Trinity present at the baptism of Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Son, is present here in Genesis 1 in creation as well. And that's what, when I was reading this passage, I made this connection. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Well, if that's true, then this is true, and this is true. Oh, there's a lot going on when Jesus was baptized. And notice this. It says this whole thing about light and dark. What was happening at creation? What the heavens and the earth were created, they were formless. But then on that first day, what did God speak? He spoke light into existence. And God said, "Let there be light." And so there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening and morning one day. So Jesus, over and over, especially in the book of John, we read how Jesus is the light. And so here we have this parallel between creation and the baptism of Jesus. Well, wait a minute. I just flipped to the next passage, and it looks like it starts out exactly the same in John 1. in the beginning, right? Let's look at Genesis, in the beginning. There's all these references to light. Okay, now let's look at John 1, in the beginning, and all these references to light. All right, so here John, as he's describing his gospel, he's making this connection for us. Jesus is the light. And you know the interesting thing about light, and I can't explain it all, I'm not a physicist, but I used to have a coworker who had a PhD in physics. And he told me, he explained to me one time that light is more than just flipping on the light switch. There's like, there's heat and energy and all these properties of light that we simply can't see just by looking at it. And even light itself, there's a lot going on there. And to us, we just think it means I don't stub my toe when I'm getting up in the middle of the night, right? Because I can see where I'm going. There's so much more to it than that. And Jesus is that light and that energy from God. And so it says, in the beginning was the Word. And here the Word is capitalized because that refers to Jesus. Jesus was the Word. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So we got the connection there three times. There's Jesus the Word, there's God the Father, they're together in the beginning at that moment of creation. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. There it is again, the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or some translations say overcome it. So you think about when God created man and He breathed into the life, that's what He's talking about here. Jesus was the life that gives us animation in our bodies, right? At one moment, it's just, you know, God's forming Adam there. It's this mud pie. He's forming and fashioning out of the dirt, and He makes Adam. He breathes life into him. And Jesus says He was there. This is the light and the life of Jesus. Right, and so this light shines in the darkness. Now, let's get back to John the Baptist then. All right, so we're setting up Jesus' baptism. And it says there's a man sent from God. His name was John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify about the light. He said, I'm not the light. He's the light. But he came to testify about the light. And this is the true light was coming into the world to enlighten every man. There's a lot of light going on here. So here we have John the Baptist holding the creator of the universe, putting him under the water. The light of the world, the one that gives life to everything we see, this is the one that John the Baptist is holding in his hands as he's about to put him under the water. It says he was in the world, and even though the world was made through him, didn't know who he was. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as did receive him, to those he gave the right to become the children of God, even those who believe in his name. So we've got John, we've got Jesus, we've got this thing about the light going on here, creation. So then it says, the Word became flesh. Now think about this. John just told us here in his gospel that Jesus was in the beginning. The Word was in the beginning. It was there with God at creation. That same Jesus, thousands of years later in our timetable, becomes flesh and blood and is walking among men. He dwelled among us. And we saw him. Can you imagine what it was like, John writing this and the disciples, they got to see what the Creator looked like when he became a man. They got to eat with him. They saw how he held his fork. They saw how he would chug a bottle of water when he was hot and thirsty. He became a man just like the rest of us. But then they also would marvel at the way Jesus sometimes would just kind of stop and think. And they knew there was stuff going on in his mind that they were just waiting. What is he going to say next? They got to see his glory in the flesh. This wasn't just any man. And so John testified about him and cried out saying, This is the one. This is he of whom I said, he comes after me, but he ranks higher than I, for he existed before me. Now, we just read earlier in Luke that John the Baptist was born first, right? Somewhere around maybe 6 months earlier. John the Baptist was older, but here he's saying, now wait a minute, he came before me. He's talking about something that's not natural. He's talking about the spiritual here. He is in every way proclaiming that he is the one that's from the beginning, the Creator. For of his fullness we've all received grace upon grace, and for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth, not only did they come through Jesus Christ, they were realized through Jesus Christ. He represented the heart of God the Father and the compassion that he displayed to bring correction to this image of God who was just waiting to strike us down. He brought the compassion to us through grace and truth. And then Jesus talks about his own self being the light. John chapter 3, what a fantastic chapter. And he says, this is the judgment. Now, half the gospel equation is believing, but the other half is, hey, wait, there's judgment here, and there's a reason that I need to put my faith in Christ. Like Phil said earlier with the communion, his blood, he covers our sin. And so Jesus says there is judgment, but the light has come into the world. Remember in Genesis 1, it said the light came to separate the light from the darkness. And that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to separate the light from the darkness. But then he goes on to say, for thousands of years, the men have loved the darkness rather than the light. Why? Why have men chosen the darkness rather than the light? For their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds would be exposed. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be transparent. I don't want to be honest. I'm going to put on the smiley face. I'm going to make it look like everything's okay. We don't want to go to the light, right? But Jesus' light pierces that darkness. And he who practices the truth comes to the light. And this is Jesus talking about himself, saying, come to me, come to the light, so that his deeds may be manifest as having been wrought in God. So Jesus, the Word, from the beginning, everything was made through him. There wasn't anything made that wasn't, it was made that wasn't made without him. And now he is the light. This is the one that John is preparing to baptize. Now, there were a lot of things happened during that creation time, right? So there was the first day God created light. The last day that he did anything anyway was the sixth day, and he created mankind on the sixth day. Man and woman, it tells us right here, he created man in his own image, the image of God. He created them, male and female, and God blessed them. God really wants to spend time with us. He created us. He has blessed us. And he saw everything that he made. And on that last day, he said something slightly different. He said it was very good. It wasn't just good. It was very good. He was proud of man and woman that he had made. And there was evening and morning, the sixth day. And then Genesis 2, it kind of reframes the creation story again, kind of retells it slightly differently. And he says, then the Lord made man from the dust of the ground, breathed in their nostrils the breath of life. And this is the same life that John is talking about in John chapter 1 when he says Jesus was the light of life. That life that was breathed in the man and gave them animation. And he became a living being. And what we'll see is that this is quoted by Paul in a little bit here. But then there's this problem. Most of you know the story. We're hanging out in the garden. God's given us this great place. Adam and Eve are there, and then here comes the serpent, the snake. And Revelation calls him that old snake, the devil, the dragon, who will one day be defeated. And so the snake saddles up beside Eve and says, hey, look, did God really say? He begins to deceive her into thinking that her way is better than God's way, and all of a sudden it's all done. They've eaten, and now here comes God, who really enjoys, he blessed Adam and Eve, he really enjoys spending time with them, and he's walking in the garden that he made, kind of admiring his handiwork. And look at that, and wow, that was cool, yeah, and he's checking things out. He's like, I'm so glad they're happy and content here. And all of a sudden, he's like, wait a minute, where'd they go? Where are you, Adam? He said, well, I heard you coming, and we're hiding back here in the trees because we're naked. And they were afraid. Now, wait a minute. This is the loving God of heaven who created them, and suddenly they're afraid of him? Something has gone completely wrong in the Garden of Eden. This is not what God intended. This is not what he meant. This is not what he created. He created a loving relationship with man and woman that he had created. And all of a sudden, that relationship was busted. And they're afraid of him now. Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat? Sounds like a conversation with your kids, right? I told you not to get in the cookie jar, right? Well, it's so much more than that. What I want us to see here is that in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, by first man, since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. So death came through Adam and Eve, first Adam. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. There's that life again, the life of Christ. So Adam and Eve, they sinned. Death entered creation. Now there's death to be contended with in the natural realm. But Paul's explaining here, hey, this is not just a natural thing. We're talking about the spiritual thing and the natural thing. Our natural bodies will die, but our spirit man, our spirit woman that lives inside of us, that part of us that lives forever, that part can live forever. It doesn't have to die. That part can be redeemed. And so it says, Paul is now quoting, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. He's quoting right out of Genesis 2, where we just read. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. He talks about the first Adam and the last Adam. This Christ, who John is about ready to baptize, he is the second Adam. The first man is from the earth, earthy. Second man, he's from heaven. And Jesus says, I've seen the Father. I can tell you all about him. That's my purpose. That's why I came. But just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we're made to look like the first Adam, right? We will also bear the image of the heavenly. So when we surrender our lives to Christ, we confess our sins, we ask him to change our lives, to come in and take over, then we bear the image of the heavenly. We bear the physical resemblance of man. Now we can bear the image of the second Adam, also in the spiritual sense. So, I kind of thought, well, you know, that's a lot of verses. How can we simplify this? I need a picture, right? So I said, okay, God created, the earth was formless and void, and he created the natural realm. There was darkness. And very similarly, in our own lives, you know, when we don't have Christ as our foundation, life can seem pretty formless and void. Why am I here? What's this all mean? What am I supposed to do with my life? How am I supposed to cope with things that come my way? And in the midst of that formlessness and void, searching for meaning in the spiritual side, Jesus is that light that gives us, that gives form and meaning to the void that we feel when we don't have that relationship that we were designed and built for from the garden. He also says here that, you know, God created Adam, right? Adam was the natural man, and Paul said that death came through Adam, but through Christ, who was also the Son of God, came life in the Spirit. So I put this picture together. It's on the back of your bulletin insert. For me, that just kind of helps me simplify this. What does all this mean? I can see very clearly that God created Adam, the natural man, and that's where death comes from. But life, true life, spiritual life, comes through Christ. So we're back to Luke chapter 3, where Jesus is ready to be baptized. let's read this again, and let's think about who is this then about to go under the water? Now, when all the people were baptized, Jesus, the Word, from the beginning, who was there when the water was created that he's ready to be dipped in. That Jesus, the second Adam, coming to bring life and light to all mankind. The one that John the Baptist, who's holding him, preparing to dunk him under the water, he says, this guy is the one, he came before me. He is the light. This is the one that John the Baptist is holding as he's putting him under the water. And then Jesus, he comes out of the water and he's praying. I imagine his hands lifting in the air, he's just praying. And then all of a sudden, heaven was opened. Now you've seen this if you've watched any Transformers or Marvel movie, what it looks like when the portal opens and the aliens pour out and they have to save the planet, right? It's like the heavens were opened, you know, and here they come, we got to save the planet. So the heavens are opened, and it's like, we can use a contemporary term, the portal to the heavens is open, right? And all of a sudden, the timeless eternity where God lives, the Father that Jesus is pointing to, out of that place touches the temporal mortal life where he's standing in the Jordan with John. And from that place, you can hear the voice of God once again reverberating across the heavens. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit comes out of this portal, and he lands on Jesus. And Jesus is united with the Holy Spirit there. So I just kind of went crazy with my text here. Convergence of heaven and earth, right? Millennia of prophecies igniting in the water right in front of these people that are watching Jesus being baptized by John, right? John the Baptist, when he brings Jesus out of the water, his job is done. He was here. The one who is preparing the way is baptizing the way and bringing him up. John's purpose was fulfilled right there in the water. He's done. Now Jesus is the man, right? The God who spoke over the ancient waters is now speaking over the waters where Jesus was baptized. So God is once again walking with men. It happened right there in front of their eyes. And when John says, we saw his glory, that's what they saw. Now we're going to watch a little video clip here of Jesus and John the Baptist. And you'll notice when you've seen Jesus movies on TV, right? And he's really mysterious. Has awkward, long pauses when he talks, right? And you're like, this is boring. But wait a minute. You got to see what's really happening, right? When you watch this video clip we're about to watch, what's really going on? Yeah, Jesus strolls into the water, but there's so much else. Remember, we just talked about the natural and the spiritual. In the natural, it just looks like some guy going into the Jordan. But in the spiritual, what's really happening here? Let's take a look.
There is one to come, greater than me, who will baptize with fire. I am just a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way for the...
Lord. Don't stop. Surely I need you to baptize me.
Oh,
you are doing is right. Baptize me.
Does that look a little different to you now? The one who created us walks up to his cousin and he just surrenders himself. And he says, he gives him power over his body to put it under the water. The one who's going to be crowned king in the book of Revelations at the end of the book is in his hands. And he's putting him under the water to begin his public ministry, saying, this is the one it's all about. So let's keep reading. Luke 3. As we keep going here, Luke picks an odd place to insert the genealogy of Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew starts out, and we have this lineage of Jesus, which kind of makes sense. Here's the guy, here's where he came from, right? But why did Luke pick chapter 3 to put this long list of all these names? This is where Jesus came from. I'm going to show you because it makes perfect sense. Now, if you weren't here at New Year's Eve service this last December 31st, 2017, go check out the podcast. I put a lot of time into explaining the genealogy of Jesus. And we talked about Matthew and Luke and John and the genealogy of Jesus and how they all fit together. So go check that out for more details. But what we're going to do here is we're going to say, it says, when he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, the son of Eli. And the list goes on. The son of, the son of, the son of. Son of Enos, the son of Seth. I love this part. The son of Adam, the son of God. That's why he put the genealogy here, because it fits the plot line so much better. Because just a few verses earlier, when Jesus comes out of the water, God's voice booms out of heaven and says, "This is my beloved son." And Jesus says, yeah, he's God's son. Let me show you. Not only is he God's son in the spiritual, he's God's son in the natural. And he goes through the lineage. And you can put this with all the other genealogies in the Old Testament, follow it all the way back to the son of Adam, the son of God. He's the second Adam. This is the son of God. So we talked about Adam. First Adam, through him, the natural man, came death, but through Christ came life. We talked about the light and the life. Another famous passage here in the book of 1 John, chapter 1. The same John that wrote this gospel years later wrote these other little books, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, right there in the end of the Bible. And it says, this is the message that we heard from him. We just heard Jesus in John chapter 3 saying, I'm the light. Right? But for some reason, men prefer the darkness over the light. And so here he's saying, this is the message we heard from him, and this is what we're telling you right now, that God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him, but we are walking in darkness, we're lying. We do not practice the truth. If we say that we have a relationship with Jesus, but the things that we're doing is in the darkness, then we're deceiving ourselves. He said, but if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. That's the same fellowship that God enjoyed in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, walking with them. And that's what he wants for us. That's why Jesus came, to bring the life, to bring the light. And we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now you might think, I don't have any sin. But if we say that we have no sin, we are simply deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, however, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the one that John was putting under the water, that John was announcing, the light and the life that was coming to give us the hope to bring understanding to the formless void of our lives, where we're, what am I supposed to do with my life? Where did I come from? What's the point of being here? Jesus is the one that brings meaning to all of that, and that's the one that John was raising out of the water that day. So I have a couple questions, things for you to think about. Where am I? Am I living in the darkness? Am I hiding from God? Like we just read in the garden, Adam and Eve, God loved them so much, and suddenly one day they're hiding from him. Jesus, who was there, comes and he says, I'm the light of the world. The light has come, but men prefer the darkness. Is that where you are? Are you preferring the darkness to the light, the grace, the truth that God has for you? You weren't meant to live there. You weren't created for that. You weren't created to live in the darkness. You were created for so much more than that. You were created for fellowship with the Creator himself. So my call to you today is to let Christ shine into your darkness. Whatever that is for you, wherever it is that you're struggling, wherever you're looking for meaning in life, let Christ shine there. Say, but I'll be exposed. As Jesus just said earlier, that's why some people resist the light. They don't want to be exposed. But I promise you, in that place of the light, you are going to find a place of forgiveness and healing and understanding that nothing in this world can offer. Because finally, you will be reunited in a relationship with the Creator that gave you life. So I would encourage you to walk in that light. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask everybody to stand. Jacob's going to put on some music. I'd like some folks to come up for our prayer ministry people to come on up. And I want to just take a few minutes here. If you would like, let's all stand. If you would like prayer this morning, if you're living in that formless and void, your life feels like there's no purpose, you want to understand what it means to live and walk in the light, I want to ask you as we play some music this morning, just to come, and there's folks here on either side to pray with you this morning.